Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Ranton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We're here for anyone who's interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is Julie Bowen. You can call in and talk with Julie and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Please note there will be no readings tonight. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. It's great to be back for this, our very first show of 2016. We've had a lot of wonderful shows, and now we have a lot of wonderful shows planned for the year, and I'm excited how we're kicking things off this year. Our guest this evening is teacher and intuitive and healer and empath, Julie Bowen. Welcome, Julie. We're glad to have you on the show this evening.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we are so glad. We are so glad. And tonight's topic is going to be a very interesting one. It's one we've discussed a little bit in the past. It's about the life of and living the life and the gift of the empath. And there are a great deal of empaths, those who possess this gift, and a lot of people don't know that they do, but before we get started on the topic itself, let's talk a little bit about you. I'd love to hear, and I know our listeners would too, and I do this to every guest. We start out with a little bit about you. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your path and how you came to this point in your own spiritual journey.
Well, I've always been an empath. I was born that way. I've had people tell me my entire life that I was too sensitive and that I wear my heart on my sleeve and, you know, all those other things. But I didn't know any other way to be. But my empathy is my seed of intuition. That's where it all comes from. And I find that a lot of people and people in my family who are also empaths, you know, tended to kind of roll their eyes, you know, wanted to fight it, wanted to be something different. And I even taught classes about how to manage it, like it was something that, you know, was wrong and needed to be fixed. And I'm really happy to have evolved to a point where I'm embracing it, and I'm encouraging others to embrace it because it is a gift. If you know what your boundaries are, you can live a very good life without having to, you know, get inundated with so much information from other people. But I began reading in it's a store in Shawnee. It's been gone for quite a while. It was called Life and Light. And that's when I began to do intuitive readings. And it really isn't a very, very exciting story. I just started doing it. I just sat down, the reader wasn't there. And I said, well, I can do it. And sat down and started banging out readings. And pretty soon, the line was out the door, and we were having to turn people away at the end of the night. And that caught me by surprise. That was something that, I don't know, I think when you're born with certain gifts and abilities, it just feels so normal to you. You don't really know it's something special until somebody comes up, you know, 25 years later and says, oh, my gosh, that reading you did for me, stuff is still coming true. But I've always considered myself the messenger more than, you know, the source for other people's information. And I really like it to stay that way. I like to facilitate people waking up to their own empowerment and finding out how awesome they are. It's just so delightful to see somebody just light up when, you know, they hear something that they just know in their heart and soul is true about them and that makes them special. And we all are special. We all have something special. And that's probably the best part of my work is that empowerment and seeing people light up when they realize that they're special and wonderful.
Yes. You know, it really is. I think I agree with you 100% on that. And I do feel like, yeah, we're definitely not the source. We're more of the conduit, more of the pipeline that the information comes through. And
exactly.
it really is a blessing to be able to be that, the facilitator, I guess is probably the word I'm looking for, that can help to bring that information to those who need it and who really need to hear it and who can be present in that moment when you said it's like they know it in their heart and their soul that they truly are special and they are unique and they are gifted. And yeah, definitely, we all have our gifts, and every spiritual gift it is unique. And I understand where you're coming from when you say when you possess a certain gift and it's been with you your whole life, you really do think it's just normal. It's very, very true. It's very true. I can remember thinking that, well, everybody saw the lovely, beautiful colors that surrounded everyone and everything, animals and people. And I didn't even realize until I was much older that other people didn't see auras. I just thought everyone did.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I went, oh. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's exactly right.
I think it's really it's a much more exciting story than you think it is, because it's your story and it's unique and it's special, as are you. Let's talk a little bit about the gift of the empath. So, as I said earlier, I think there are a great number of people who possess this gift and don't necessarily know that they do, and don't necessarily know how to process sometimes what can be an overload of information. So tell us, first of all, how do you define that gift, the gift of the empath?
I think that the empathy is very closely related to clairsentience, which is the ability to sense or to feel other people's emotions or energies in a room in a specific area. I can walk into a room and I know if there's been an argument there, for instance. And being able to, people have a hard time expressing their emotions. Sometimes they need people like us to help them kind of articulate what's going on, because it's confusing to them. They're just like, if they've had, just a really big shake-up life experience and they're confused and their head is spun, it kind of helps to sit down with somebody who say, okay, so you're feeling this because, okay, well, maybe it's not that, but more of this. And it helps them sort out and articulate what those feelings are so that they can be dealt with and healed and released. I have to say, though, when I first started getting into the intuitive arts, I would go home crying. I mean, I was I was a hot mess, because just everybody was suffering so much and they had all these problems and I couldn't help. And I had to learn that, you can bless them and love them, and just as I would do for myself going through a difficult time, and release them and let them continue with their journey, because that's what it is. Both the good and the bad is all part of the journey, and it's all important. We get a little bit complacent if we don't have something to shake us up a little bit every now and again, and make us really think and go down to the deepest parts of ourselves and, figure out who we are at that level. And it's usually, at least for me, it's usually a new level every time I get what I would consider to be sort of a negative life experience or one that's upsetting. But the gift of the empath, I think, is we're the nurturers and the healers of the world. We can get overwhelmed sometimes, but there are a lot of tools that can be utilized to help with that. And, the first one is, for me, is meditation, is getting in there and finding out which feelings are mine and which aren't, and, booting out the ones that aren't. It's also, I have an angel. I have a spirit guide with me that I've sort of tasked with, make sure that I don't get overloaded with gunk, especially if I'm doing a psychic fair and there's just all kinds of, how that is, all kinds of energy zipping around. Okay. And people are getting readings and people are crying and people are getting massage work and, kind of releasing a lot of emotion. And I wanted to learn how to shield myself, but I didn't want to be closed off, and that can be kind of a tricky path. You can get a little bit overly shielded, and then you don't really feel anything. But I've learned a lot of really good tools. I've read a lot of wonderful books from great authors such as Marianne Williamson and Dr. Judith Orloff, and you know, there are zillions of authors who do touch on the subject of empathy. And it does seem to be, at least in my experience, it does seem to present a little bit more in women than it does in men, though there are an awful lot of men who are empaths. I think that maybe we women tend to want to put a word on it and say this is what this is. And kind of, I don't know, kind of pull at it, like, you know, like taking the thread of a tapestry and pulling on it and just seeing what happens. But I enjoy the friendship of many, many wonderful empaths, and it is so good to get together with them and kind of get together with people who get us, you know, who understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's interesting that you bring up the point that that it tends to present in more in women than it does men. And I am curious, this is my theory, just my theory on the subject, that I think one of the reasons it presents more in women and less in men is that as a society we tend to have taught men to frown upon their own emotions and emotions.
Yes.
And I think
exactly.
Maybe the gift itself is probably just as prevalent among both genders, but it is discouraged in the male gender.
It is, I see men really struggle with it a lot more because feelings are a feminine thing, and you're a sissy if you have feelings, and you know, somehow you're less masculine if you are sensitive or feel things very deeply. And I've had to help several men kind of guide them through that and saying this is not emasculating you, this is actually making you a much more balanced individual.
Yes.
But yes, the way we socialize men really needs updating.
Yes,
definitely.
very much so. And so much of society is still stuck in that machismo type of mentality. But yes, I agree with you. It's really good. When a man can find and accept that aspect of himself and express it freely, he can be much more empowered. Much more empowered.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I worked in law enforcement as a dispatcher for 8 years, and I was doing readings for guys left and right. There was, you know, women trouble, family trouble, all kinds of things. And finally, I finally narrowed it down for this one gentleman who was really having a hard time. He was all over the place. He was angry. He was irritated, resentful, and he didn't like being like that. And I said, okay, as a law enforcement officer, you are trained to, as soon as you come up on a call, you take control of the situation. And you tell people what they need to do and where they need to go stand and who's going to take the report and all that other stuff. And that works really well for you in the field. That keeps you safe. But when you do it with the little misses, you better hope for a comfy couch because she's gonna come unhinged. And, you know, and it was just that moment of realization of, oh, my gosh, that's why she keeps telling me I'm controlling. And it's just a tiny little click on the dial, but, you know, a huge realization for him, and it did make things much better very quickly in their relationship when he realized that he was doing what he's been trained to do in order to keep himself and other people safe. So,
right,
and it
right.
also helped him that he was able to explain it to her that way. So she cut him a little bit of slack.
Good. Wonderful. Well, what a wonderful story to hear that realization was able to be made. Because, bless his heart, yeah, well, women don't particularly like to be controlled any more than men do.
No,
so.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Not
and
so
a
much.
Relationship is meant to be a partnership. It's meant to be, you know, equal parts give and take. And, wow, that's wonderful. What a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Certainly.
So let me ask you, what's been the biggest challenge for you personally as an empath and as someone who teaches others about empathy?
I think the biggest challenge is my own inner housekeeping, and staying true to the course. And I can get depressed sometimes, and sometimes I have to stop, and I have to do a little inner housekeeping, because if I'm all loaded down with stuff, I certainly am not qualified to facilitate, anybody else's journey out of that situation. So there's a lot of time spent with meditation, with reading spiritual material. I love Tibetan Buddhism. I love any kind of books by the authors that I mentioned, and many more that I can't even think about. But I really feel that, and sometimes I've overstepped and hadn't meant to. I don't run up to people and say, "Oh my gosh, I see your dead father around you, and he's saying this and this and this." Because that's just not me. That's a little bit intrusive for me. I'm a little more standoffish than that. But sometimes I will see something coming down the pike, and I know that it's not gonna be well received by my client. And dealing with one thing, I don't read death at all.
Right.
It's just too tricky. I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want to upset my client. That's between a person and whoever they believe in as their divine creator, if at all. And but sometimes, I'll see things like affairs, or I'll see things like divorce, or I'll feel that the person I'm talking to, might have an attraction, for instance, to somebody else that outside their relationship, that is causing them quite a bit of confusion and pain. And sometimes those things are a little bit hard to talk through. And they'll bring the tears sometimes for both of us. But for the most part, I really feel that all the years that I just wanted to get rid of this thing that just let me feel, I'm to the point now where I can't watch the news. So, and there are a lot of people that are like that. And so, how do you stay informed? So instead of watching the news, I go online and I look at the headlines. Just the headlines, not the whole story. So I'm not absorbing the whole thing. On 9/11, I don't watch anything, because every time that I see those planes collide with those buildings, that same feeling that I had when it was happening is brought back up. I mean, and the times 10, because it's that way for everyone else too. And I say that with the utmost respect for any of the victims and the families of the people who lost people then. I don't mean any disrespect. It's just simply the terror is absolutely overwhelming. So I have learned to find ways to be educated and be as good of a citizen as I can be, without, breaking the wheelbarrow and not being able to move or do anything because I'm shut down, because I'm overloaded. But, I think overwhelm is probably the biggest problem that empathy presents, at least with me.
I think I can agree with that 100%, because what I do myself personally is I go into what I call hermit mode, where I just have to get away. And I'm pretty much an introvert, surprisingly so. Most people wouldn't expect that of me, because I'm a performer and I'm talk radio and all of this stuff, but I'm very much an introvert. And I think that that a lot of that stems from, for me, being an empath and having to retreat into my own silence and my own stillness, and process all of that, because it can be very overwhelming. All of the information, and not just on an emotional level, but I'm also a medical intuitive. So on a physical level, when I'm in a room with somebody that has a migraine and I get that migraine, I'm like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, I'm out.
Back. I'm going to my room, But yeah, for me personally, that's and I think we each have our own, I guess, coping mechanisms that we've developed. Even people who have the gift of empathy and don't necessarily know it, I think just as a matter of survival, they have to develop a coping skill so that they're not overwhelmed, because it really can be extremely overwhelming. And in particular, and I remember being a very very unaware that I was an empath, that this was one of my gifts, but realizing that I was easily affected in some way, but I didn't know where that was coming from. I thought it was just me and my own crazy emotions. But yeah, I remember thinking, how am I going to deal with this, with life, if I'm so overwhelmed, and developing these tactics. And they really come in handy for me now, especially since now I use these gifts and have for 25 years now to try and help others. But yeah, oh, definitely. After the psychic fair, I gotta have any psychic fair, I gotta have downtime, big time.
And sometimes that can be hard on relationships, because you know, partners can take that as a rejection instead of, you know, I need to do this for me, I'm not rejecting you. And it can be misread. But downtime, you know, your sanity is the best gift you can give anybody, and that's that's definitely sanity time for me too.
It is, but I'll tell you what, for me, and I'm going to ask you a question in a minute that goes along with this. So we've talked about what our greatest challenge is with empathy. I'll let you go first because you're the guest. What is the greatest blessing that you think that you've received from that, from your own empathy and working with others?
The greatest blessing that I feel from my empathy is I feel a constant, nearly constant, connection with spirit. I feel that coming through just about all the time. The only time that it gets obscured is with lower emotions like anger or grief or resentment, irritation. Sometimes driving will do it. But I feel a constant connection with spirit, and I feel like information is non-verbally being exchanged, and whatever I'm doing, I feel that I'm being made ready to do the next thing. And in helping others, it's just been, I haven't met that many people who aren't empaths. When I sit down with somebody and my empathy, you know, kind of gets ready to work, I feel that my client or whoever I'm sitting with is kind of mirroring back that part of them, even though that may not be a full-time characteristic, but they're kind of opening up and they kind of gets mirrored back to me. I don't even know how to interact with someone who just had absolutely no empathy. I've probably done it and not known it, but it's just so foreign to me. I can't even imagine what that would feel like. But feeling in touch with the divine and with my guides and my angels and I call them my peeps. That is to me the biggest blessing, and I just can't imagine anybody who felt limited to the five senses. If you can't see it or feel it, it isn't real. Touch it, or it isn't real. Because what a limited way to live.
Right, exactly. It's wonderful to be able to be open to so much more than that, than just that first-person experience. I guess I would call it. This is just how I perceive. It's lovely to be able to be open to a greater, higher perception and higher feeling, I think. I think that really is a blessing. I love those moments, and I think we touched on it earlier, when you really connect with somebody. And those moments when you know you've made a difference. And I often share the story of a young girl who sat in at my table at the very first psychic fair for PRS that I ever did, which was back in 2001. And she was in the foster care system, and she was only, she was a teenage girl, and just completely lost, and felt, and I could feel her despair, and her feeling that her life was not worth living anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke my heart. And, you know, normally at psychic fairs we do shorter readings, but this was one that I let go on for about 45 minutes. And
mm-hmm.
being able to finally reach out to her and let her see herself more clearly, and knowing that I could affect her in a positive way. And then a few years later, the wonderful lady who was her foster mother at the time, who had brought her to the fair, comes up to me and says, I just want you to know that after she spoke with you, her whole life turned around. The way she saw herself. And it was probably one of the most profound and humbling moments of my life. She did well. She was going to college. She was, I think she was engaged at the time, and it was, she was really pulling herself together and found her own self-worth again. And I don't claim credit for that, but it was mm-hmm. wonderful to be able to be the facilitator of that and be there present when that light bulb went off. And like I said, we talked about this a little earlier, but oh man, those moments, those are the moments I live for in doing
this. Yeah,
me too. Those are those moments. I just wait for the next one. Because I love it.
Like, this
I love
is
it.
Why I do this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And sometimes, on occasion, you get to kind of call somebody out a little bit. Because I, while you were telling your story, I was thinking of a time when somebody sat down in front of me and just, I just want to kill myself. I just want to end it. And she's going on, and I'm just kind of quietly observing. And I said, honey, you don't want to kill yourself. You want to punish somebody. Who do you want to punish? Mm-hmm. And it turned out it was her mom. And because we were able to make that switch from where that feeling was really coming from, and that she was verbally misinterpreting what the feeling was, she and her mom were able to, you know, cross a few hurdles in their tumultuous relationship. But, just being able to sit back and say, what you're saying is not quite what you're feeling.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, what you're feeling is actually better than what you're saying. I don't know how many times I do a reading with tarot cards, and the first thing, you know, it's like somebody's sitting in front of me very, very upset, and the first thing I say is, okay, this reading looks a lot better than how you're feeling right now. Okay, and then I'm ready to get into it. Just because feelings, they feel overwhelming, and especially when you can't pick them apart and identify them and, you know, put them in their place and figure out where they're coming from, because you're just too mixed up. It's really great to be able to help somebody with that.
Very true. It really is. So tell me a little bit more about the classes, the empathy classes, and about
uh-huh.
working with people to help develop their own empathic skills.
I'm still kind of working on helping people realize the connection between empathy and intuition, because everybody wants to develop their intuition, but they don't want anything to do with empathy. it's then I'm going to have to feel. It's part of the same collage. And when I started doing classes on empathy, I got empaths that were just absolutely exhausted, at their wits' end, working in a bad situation, got relatives that are calling them up and haranguing them all the time for this or for that. And we as empaths do tend to be people pleasers if we don't keep ourselves in check, and we can just totally overdo it, could completely deplete ourselves of any kind of energy whatsoever, and, you know, just kind of become blobs sitting on the couch wondering what in the world is wrong with us. So most of the people that I normally get in my, well, at least when I called it How to Manage Your Empathy, was the people who felt like they were broken because they were empaths. And the journey was about helping them to realize that they're not broken, that this is a gift, and that it's okay to be sensitive. There's nothing wrong with that, and kind of undoing some of the social conditioning, and teaching them a little bit about how to shield with white light or with the violet flame, or really, you know, you can do all that stuff, but you can. It's so much easier to just set boundaries and stick to them. Say this much and no more. And when I have somebody that calls me on the phone that is, you know, just constantly playing the victim mode, and, you know, everything that I suggest is a baby step, it just can't be done. And I'm starting to feel like a juice box with a big straw stuck in me, and somebody is just draining me. I've just learned to say when they call, I've only got a few minutes unless you're ready to talk solutions. And that completely transformed the situation. We're kind of limited sometimes, especially with family, because, you know, family dynamics can be pretty intricate and confusing, and, you know, people don't necessarily want to write off their families, but they just feel, you know, I did a class over the holidays about your empathy and holiday expectations, because there are a lot of people out there that would kind of like to start their own tradition. I mean, they've gotten married, they're a young couple, they've got young kids, they kind of like to have Christmas at their house. And they just feel like they can't do it because it's always been at mom and dad's. And now that you're married, then you've got two mom and dads, and then maybe you've got some siblings, and you've got to make all these rounds and get all these gifts and bring all these dishes. Yeah, and is Christmas any fun anymore? No. And, you know, they're just screaming to get out. And, you make a boundary, and you say, I love having Christmas with you, but I've got my family, and I'm really excited to have my first Christmas here at my house with my kids, and you're more than welcome to come. And, you know, just give themselves permission to ask for what they want.
Yes, very much so. And so many people don't. And particularly, like you said, in the past, tend to be people pleasers. And I think it's for the sake of finding emotional balance, more than anything else, to find a situation where they don't feel overloaded. And it's so hard for us sometimes to say, this is what I need. Not even just what I want, but what I need. And and what's interesting about it is people are often more willing to compromise than you think they are. We spend time worrying and building up to the whole, what we've worked up in our mind is this whole big confrontation. And very frequently, you know, if we can be open in the way that we approach it, frequently people will be open in the way they receive and respond to that. And yeah, it often
that's
does
a very good point.
Compromise.
Yeah, that's
I've learned that in most situations. In the first situation, speaking of empathy, where I discovered that was in a situation of grief and dealing with death and dealing with the emotions thereof, and how incredibly, how anticipatory grief can be just as difficult as the real thing, and oftentimes worse. Like, for example, when you're anticipating the anniversary of a difficult event, can often be even more harrowing than the anniversary of that event itself.
Exactly. That is so true.
We really work ourselves up. We really
don't we? And tell ourselves stories about how we're going to be rejected by everybody if we say no. And
exactly.
I looked at the work of Byron Katie for that kind of RX.
Oh, I
love
need Byron
that one.
Katie.
Oh, I do too.
Love me some Byron Katie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She's awesome.
She is wonderful. She really is. There are a lot of wonderful authors out there that really. I think you mentioned Marianne Williams earlier, and there are just so many that I think really, you know, there's only so much that you can get from book knowledge, but it really is a step in the right direction. So let's talk a little bit more about let's talk some more about these empaths who are just discovering their gift. And I know we talked about how meditation is a very plays a very important role in that. What are some of the other first steps they need to take in not only working to let their empathy work for them, but also for others?
That's a lot of times I feel that the brand new empaths feel kind of like they're trying to take a sip of water out of a fire hydrant. I mean, it's just like they just got all this flowing to them, and they can't process it all. My biggest recommendation for that is to journal, get it out, get it out of your mind and out of your emotional body, and get it down on paper. Especially if it's overwhelmed, just write. Just don't even think about what you're writing. Just write, and it's a lot easier to kind of pick apart and see where the patterns are, and see where maybe you're telling yourself something false about a situation. I recommend if your mind is too busy, and a lot of times with empaths, our minds are very busy. A guided meditation CD to help you kind of relax and open and release all of that. A lot of times a guided meditation CD before you start meditating with silence is a lot easier. It's easier for people that are beginners. A lot of beginners, you see them and you just know. I mean, their shoulders are up around their ears. They're kind of in a defensive posture and kind of looking like Bambi caught in headlights, and that's pretty much what it feels like. So it's you kind of have to teach self-care and self-respect and self-love, and you are important. You're overwhelmed right now. Get through that. Coloring is also really, really good. It's a good medium of expression. It's nonverbal, and it's color therapy.
Amen to that. I'm digging
exactly.
The coloring right now.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
It really is.
Me
it's
too.
Wonderful therapy. It's not only wonderful therapy, but it's wonderful, being proven to be a wonderful alternative to meditation for those who really have a hard time with it. It puts you in a very similar state of consciousness. And
it does.
And yeah.
It's really exciting once they're finding out about it.
A lot of people lately. I think I bought crayons and coloring books for everybody in the family now. And it's amazing because, many years ago it would have been, that's something you get for children. But no, I mean, adult coloring books are a huge part of the market right now. You go to, for example, Michael's, they have a whole display of them. And whether it be mandalas or whether it be nature scenes or whatever it is you want to color, man, it's a beautiful, wonderful form of expression. And a wonderful form of, it's calming. Just putting the crayons or the markers or the colored pencils on the page and just beginning. It's a sense of relaxation that I don't think I can explain very well with words.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I recommend it. And there are a lot of mandalas and a lot of coloring books that also work through frequency that can help help kind of calm you down or put you in a state of divine love, where there's a frequency for this and for that, and that's also helping on another level. I have mentored people through their kind of initiation through empathy, and I've given them exercises to do and told them to embrace the part of themselves that they don't even like very much. Embrace your whole self. You're fine the way you are. And because, most of us have heard most of our lives that there's something wrong with us, that we're too sensitive. And I can't even tell you how many times I've heard that since I was a tiny, 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 tiny little girl. And then one day I thought, well, couldn't you just be a little bit too insensitive? Of course, I didn't say it because it was my dad, and I didn't want to experience lunar orbit firsthand. But there was just one day when I thought, maybe you're just not very sensitive at all. And it kind of made me realize that, maybe I am okay like this. So, yeah, it's a lot about self-acceptance and self-love and self-care. And when I do mentoring, I usually have my empaths make out a Bill of Rights for themselves, that it's okay to say no, that it's, you know, what else is okay. And it can be more than 10. It can be as many as you want, as long as they're positive statements that that are supporting you and reinforcing that you're okay the way you are. Better than okay.
One of the hardest lessons for me to learn as an empath was that it's okay to be angry about something. As long as you're not hurting someone with your anger, it's okay to be angry. Anger is a valid and needed emotion.
It is.
And I think, you know, I think especially as a female, we're often taught, you know, we tend to be taught that our emotional expressions are okay, but we can't be overly, you know, couldn't you be a little bit less vocal about it? Or couldn't you be, you know, be more ladylike? Let me tell you about ladylike. But one of the things that was taught was, you know, don't be angry. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Don't get mad about it. Just let it go. And I'm like, but my anger at whatever the situation was at that time was completely valid. And, you know, many situations. I think that one of the things that, not just the anger, but emotions in general, allowing yourself the freedom to experience and have the emotions that are yours. They're valid, they're needed, they're yours.
Yes.
And so how is an empath, if we can't process our own emotions, how can we process the ones that we're being bombarded with by other people, you know?
That's exactly right. And, you know, as we get older, well, first we're told it's not ladylike. And then as we get older and, you know, we're on this path we're on, and it's like, oh, anger is not very spiritual. It's like, give me a break. It's all spiritual.
There's a lot of
spiritual and it's all
shaming
sacred.
Out there.
Yeah, it's like, what? Yeah. Wait till you get angry. Yeah, it'll be righteous then. But yeah, it's anger is there to tell you that something is off balance, something is not feeding you or supporting you or helping you, or you're being taken advantage of in some way. And you know, as long as we don't get stuck there, it is absolutely imperative that we have that. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't know when something was wrong somewhere and we needed to stop or slow down and find out, you know, where it is or what it is that's pulling us off center.
Yes, very true, very true. I'm going to tell you, as an empath, and I don't know if you've seen it, but as an empath, one of the most wonderful and constructive and validating movies I have ever seen came out this year, and it was by Pixar, and it was called Inside Out. Have you seen that movie?
Ooh. No, I haven't, but I really want to now.
The emotions of the young girl in the movie are portrayed as characters. There's joy, there's sadness, there's anger, there's fear, there's disgust. Disgust is a character. And you see how all of these emotions are important. They all play an important role in the development of this young woman. And you even get to see some of the emotions, like from her parents and from other people later on in the movie, and even a dog and a cat, and the dog just wants food. But it was so incredibly poignant for me as an empath to see all of that, and I'm like, wow, how positive is this, that we can have a movie, and it's really more of a geared towards children, yes, but it's a family friendly film, that we have something that really validates these emotions for children that traditionally have been brought up to neglect certain emotions or to think that they're bad for feeling certain things, when really they're not. They're not at all. And
they can make you sick if you hold them in and don't express them. You can get sick.
You really, truly can. And I think that's especially true what I've seen with empaths. I've seen it a lot, particularly with those who haven't figured it out yet. This is one of their gifts. I've seen so much. And grief is one of the ones that comes to mind first off. Unexpressed, repressed grief that becomes horrible physical illness.
Wow, you really are good at this, you know. That's the second time you mentioned grief, and I'm grieving.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah,
yes,
and grief is centered in the lungs, and I've had bronchial and asthma problems, and I am grieving actively. I've got the Kleenex boxes to show it. It's coming out, but there's just so much. And yeah, it does. It will make you sick if you don't just keep releasing it. And it's such, you know, it's not a real popular emotion. Nobody wants to come over and hang out with you while you cry your eyes out. So, you know,
yeah,
it's usually kind of done alone. Yeah, and nobody knows what to say. So well, you don't really have to say anything, but it's still uncomfortable. And not only that, but it reminds people that, you know, maybe they have aging parents or, you know, maybe their own mortality or their mortality of somebody else that they love and just loss in general. And so
yeah.
I understand when people don't get it or, you know, they just kind of look at their shoes and then sort of slowly walk out of the room. I get it. But, yeah, if it's repressed, it can just wreak havoc with the body. And being a medical intuitive, I'm sure that you've seen a lot of that.
Yes, yeah, I really do see a lot of it. And I've seen it at work in people that are close to me. For example, one person that I'm very close to has a habit of repressing grief, and if she's listening, she'll know I'm talking about her. and she began, the biggest effect that it had on her, and this was an interesting symptom, was all of her eyelashes fell out, and they wouldn't stay for 2 years. And there was no medical reason or anything to that effect. She started losing eyebrows too, but it was mostly all of the eyelashes just blunk. and every time they would try to go back, they would fall out again. And I knew what it was. It's something that she was taught growing up. You don't cry. You don't show your emotions. You just don't do it. I mean, occasionally you might do it in private, but do not cry. No matter what, do not cry. And we do so much damage, not just to persons with the gift of empathy, but to all persons, when we discourage them from expressing their feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's almost like her body was trying to process it for her.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that definitely goes deep. Yeah, my mom's buck up. That was what she used to tell me, because my father was sick and I was a caregiver for him too. And she used to say, buck up, let's not upset Dad. So I bucked up, and I had bronchitis usually about 3 times a year, sinus infections probably 6 times a year, ear infections, because I was hearing stuff I wasn't liking. This is when I lived at home and I was going to school and all. And, you know, it's there's no blame or anything. She certainly did better than, you know, was done to her when she was growing up. And I think that's really the most we can hope for. I'm not a parent, so what do I know? But I talk to a lot of moms and a lot of dads who, you know, they just want their kids to have better than they did. And I've had a really hard time processing my emotions. I'm in my 50s now, and I'm just getting the hang of it.
I hear
you. Very liberating when you get a hang of it, though. I got to tell you, my mantra as the countdown to the show start was going, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to cuss.
That's the same mantra I have every week.
I said that for like the last 20 seconds before the show went on, because there comes a point when it's like, okay, I'm ready to express now. And that is so liberating. It's hilarious. It's messy. It's funny. And very liberating.
It really is. Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. And there's something so incredibly, not just liberating, but calming in a way about it. The opinion I'm about to express isn't necessarily the opinion of PRS, but I can honestly say that a good slew of obscenities is very healing sometimes.
It is. It absolutely is. It's like I'm doing something naughty and I don't care.
And boy, I feel better for having done it. There's actually been a lot of research done on the effect of cussing and how it increases pain tolerance, scientific level research, and how frequently people who are more colorful with their language have a tendency to be very forward and very honest in their expression. Often are not deceitful, and these are just they're just studies. You know, it isn't necessarily a causation or a correlation.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see that because it's being another form of expression that tends to be discouraged. And I think, in all honesty, if what you are doing and expressing emotionally especially isn't directed at hurting people,
right,
I think it's a good thing for you to do. Because we've been talking about, you can see how the negative effects of bottling up emotions can be, and particularly for those with the gift of the empath. We don't just process other people's emotions. We got to process our own. And it is like we're carrying everybody's at once. You know, I'll see someone come sit at my table, and they literally have the hunched shoulders like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. And you can see them as the people who take everyone's burdens on, everyone's worries, everyone's cares. And you're going, honey, you got to take care of you for a while.
Yeah, and there seems to be kind of a disconnect from, you know, it's like we have this concept that we're all connected. So, you know, I can look over in Brazil and see that horrible thing that's happening over with the ecosystem in Brazil where this chemical spill, which is still happening, it hasn't even made the news, and it's already made it out into the ocean and everywhere, and it's like I can get upset that I can't change that, but we're all connected. So if I improve myself, that raises the bar for everyone and everything. So in a way, if you take care of yourself, you really are taking care of all that is because you are a part of that.
Yes, so very.
And
true.
It's really hard for me to get my head around that. That's one of the hardest concepts for me. Because the illusion is that we're separate, and it's a pretty compelling illusion. I sure look separate. I'm the only one here, and, you know, but it's not true. And when I lost my mom, I was just crying and crying, and I had a day where I was so incredibly ill. And finally, I just started yelling, and I called God a horrible name. Oh, my goodness. I was checking for lightning. And it's like, oh, that's anger. Okay. And it was better.
Yeah.
And I didn't get zapped. And I'm thinking that God probably has pretty broad shoulders, or the divine as you understand it. So I think I'm all right there. But yeah, sometimes, you know, when you feel so close with spirit, like I do, but then you get mad because you didn't get what you wanted. I wanted my mom to go, but I didn't. You know, it's that body did not serve her. She was in terrible pain, but she was also my best friend, and I just there was just so much to express, and so much of it felt taboo. And then when I took the lid off the cookie jar and said, okay, I'm letting it out, you know, if I get hit with lightning, so be it. And it made a big difference in how I continued on the journey and the process.
Right.
So, yeah, let it out.
Yeah. Don't bottle it up. Never bottle it up. Let it go. Let it go. Very true. Well, we're getting close to where we're going to turn it over to Mike for a second, but I want to say that you, first of all, it's wonderful having you on the show. I've had a ball this evening. I've loved our conversation.
Me too.
But I want to point out that you do read tarot. You are an Usuyan Karuna Reiki Master Teacher. You are you're also a Young Living Essential Oils I've lost the word.
Distributor.
Distributor. It started with a D. As well, and you're so much more. Please tell us how that our listeners can contact you for your services.
Okay, my name is Julie Bowen. That's B-O-W-E-N. I'm on Facebook, probably excessively. You can reach me there.
Me too.
My phone number is, yes, exactly, 816-550-4290. And my email address is tarotchick920@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm gonna leave you here for just a second so we can go to Mike so he can tell us what's coming up in TRS, but we'll be back with you for any last words just in a few minutes. Mike, take it away.
All right. This Saturday, we have our annual predictions panel. That's the 16th. And then on February 20th, we're doing a program on essential oils. March 19th, we have a program on the Makau Usui Reiki Crystal Awakening. And then April 16th, we have a program on past life regression. All of these meetings are free for PRS members and $5 for anyone else who'd like to join. And then anything else will be on our website, prskc.org.
You want to tell us where these meetings are at?
They're at the Westwood Kansas Community Center. It's at 4700 Rainbow.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mike. And just to let you guys know that Christy Stuckey and Dennis Doc Cromwell and myself will be this year's prediction panel. So be sure to be there at 7 p.m. this coming Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. We really look forward to it. We really enjoy it every year. It's a really big meeting, and we have a ball with it. And we're going to learn a lot and hopefully discover a lot about what's coming up over the next year. Next week, right here on Radio PRS, we have Christy Clemens Hoffman, Angel Intuitive. And Christy has been a previous guest on our show. As a matter of fact, last year, she won Guest of the Year Award for Radio PRS for having the most listeners per one episode. That was a really neat experience, and we are so glad to be having her come back next week. I'm going to go back to her one more time. Isn't she wonderful? She's marvelous.
Yes.
So do you have any last words of wisdom you'd like to impart on us before we turn in for the evening?
I have the words of Albert Einstein. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. So remember your
gift.
Wow. I think he was as much a philosopher as he was a scientist, but I dig him. Well, thank you so much, Nikki. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you, Mike, for saying all the right stuff, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being on tonight. We've loved having you. We'd love to have you again sometime. This was a lot of fun and very educational and informative. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening. I don't know if you want to hold for a few minutes, so I'll be with you in just a second. And, Mike, we are going to say goodnight to everybody and goodnight to Mike. Thank you, Mike, for being our co-host, and thank you to PRS for bringing us this wonderful program every week. Be sure you join us next week. And remember that all of our episodes are archived, so you can if you know someone who wanted to listen tonight and wasn't able to, you can feel free to share the link with them because it will always, always, always be good. Have a wonderful evening, and blessings to all of you. Cue that music, Mike.